for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, July the 4th, 2015. Carla Buttard is the speaker of the service teaching on parental relationships.
Aren't you glad you came to Lake Hamilton? I didn't even know this place existed until 2001, and I don't think I've missed but about 5 camps in all those years. Just can't stay away once you find a place that is that can do for you what is done here. That doesn't happen in very many places in America or even in the world. So I appreciate Lake Hamilton. It's an honor to come and stand in this place. One time it hit me how many people have stood here over the years. It really is an honor to stand in this place. And it's an honor to be able to speak to you this morning what God has laid on my heart to bring to you. I want to pray first. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that would hinder your people from hearing your word today, the message that you want them to hear. I bind every spirit from the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name. I send out the warring angels right now to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has on every life in this place. And all your people all over the world, Lord, your saints. I bind the antichrist spirit that would keep the truth of God's word from being heard. I bind religious spirits, the spirits of error that have been ingrained in us from the time we were born. I bind those religious spirits now in Jesus' name. All spirits of doubt and unbelief, I command you to leave God's people now that they can receive. And I bind the lying spirit that would stand between you and your people, and from the words that I speak and your people that would twist, that they would hear something that I'm not saying. I bind that lying spirit and command it to go. I loose now the spirit of truth. I loose the spirits of love and power and a sound mind. I loose upon the people ears to hear. I loose hearts to receive. Lord, I ask you to circumcise their hearts this morning to receive everything that you have for them. And I ask you to pour out a measure of your love this morning. That if there's anybody here who has not truly received and understand the love that you have for them today, I ask you to supernaturally do it today, that they might know that you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today about parental relationships. We were all children at one time and had a mother and a daddy. Maybe we didn't live with both of them, or whatever your situation was. Let's face it, if we lived in a perfect world, we would all grow up in a home where our mothers and daddies loved the Lord, they loved each other, and they loved their children and raised them in the love and admonition of the Lord. Unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. Many of us did not have that relationship with our parents that would prepare us to have a proper relationship with God. As parents, that really is one of our responsibilities, is to bring up our children in a way that they would recognize later God because of their relationship with mom and dad, who would stand in that place, the earthly connection to God through our parents first. I had that kind of a home. I was much loved. My daddy was a godly man and my mother, and we were raised in church, but it wasn't a perfect home. And now that I'm a parent and even a grandparent, you know, when we grow up, we have these things that happen to us as we're growing up, and they affect us deeply. Parents don't understand just how much what we say and do affects them as children. Now that I'm a parent, I'm on the other side of that. I know now that as a child, because of growing up, having pressures of life, just life, pressures that cause fears and things in the parents that cause us to react to our children in ways that we don't really understand how it affects them. So every one of us is a child. At one time, we were a child. Now, whatever your age is, every one of us may be parents or grandparents. And all the years that I've come here and stood in the early morning prayer meeting, it never ceases to amaze me how many grown adults, 30, 40, 50, 60, even in the 70s, that have never gotten over those mommy and daddy things. And so today, God wants to heal us in areas, whatever was lacking in our relationships with our moms and dads, whether they're dead or alive, you can receive healing today. So here's a question I want you to ask yourself. How many did I have a good relationship with my mom and dad? Just be honest about it. Some had great relationships with their moms and dads. If that was the case, wonderful. Some had not so many good relationships with their mother or their daddy, or maybe even both. Maybe you didn't even know who your parents were. But no matter how hard you try to keep it from happening, rejection finds its way in to cause us to feel rejected by the most fundamental and foundational relationship that a child can have, and that is with its mom and dad. When I was growing up, I had a good mom and dad. My mother went to work when I was about 18 months old, and even as an 18-month-old child, we perceive things sometimes that are not even true. I think in my baby mind, when my mother left the home to go work, it affected me. Not in a way that I could mentally remember, but it must have made me feel that she didn't want to be with me anymore. She chose to be somewhere else. And I know that if my mother were here, she would say, that is totally not true, which that's what the lying spirit does. That lying spirit is always there to tell you the lie, then we believe the lie. And you know, feelings I've learned over the years that sometimes when people are expressing their feelings, this is the way it starts. And we heard about this, I think Jerry was the one who was talking about what you think can make you sick. Well, God showed me the process of how feelings work. First of all, we all know that God wants us to agree with His Word, right? He wants us to agree with His Word and speak His Word. But guess what? Satan wants the same thing. He wants us to believe what he tells us and agree with him. So I'm going to show you the process that God showed me about feelings. First of all, a thought is projected. And most of the time, it's a lying spirit. She doesn't want to be with you. That's why she went to work. See, that's how the lying spirit works. Okay, so the thought is projected. And then we don't like the thought that we're thinking. Surely my mother wants to be with me. So then we have a conflict in our minds. And then when that happens, it starts releasing chemicals in your brain. Then those chemicals have an effect over your entire body, and they become what we call a feeling. They cause us to feel one way or another. And then because we're human, We like to talk about our feelings. I don't know how many times when somebody can say, well, what do you need for? Well, I just feel like this, and I just feel like that, and I just feel like this, and I just feel like that. We talk about our feelings. And here is Satan, who projected that feeling. I just feel like nobody loves me. Well, that was started with the thought. Satan says, nobody loves you. And it's like, nobody loves me? Surely somebody loves me. Somebody's got to love me. And then it starts. And then when you start talking about your feelings, whatever it is that you're saying, I just feel like nobody loves me. There it is. You came in agreement with Satan. And there is power in that. And I've said this today so that we can stop it when it comes. That's what it means to take captive every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Anything that does not line up with God's word, we should captivate it quickly and cast it down. That's a lie. Satan, I command you to shut up and get out. That's where we're going to have to stop it, is in the thought. Don't let it mull around and become a feeling, and it takes you over. And those things sometimes are hard to shake. Okay, so I can remember my mom being very busy. She was a good housekeeper. She kept my clothes clean and neat. She fixed my hair. I can remember riding with her to pick up my dad at the refinery when he worked 311s. We only had one car. She would drive down to pick him up, and I would be with her. I had to stay up late sometimes if he was working 311s because she couldn't leave me at home. I remember being at the grocery store with her. But as far as a relationship, I had no relationship with my mom. I had no endearing memories of her picking me up, of her reading me a book, any of those type things. Now, there is a reason for that, and this is one thing that children cannot understand. There are reasons that these things set up in people. I learned much later that my grandmother tried to abort her when she was pregnant with her. Now, that'll do something to a fetus when that thought is there. Even she did it. She attempted it. It just didn't take. Thank God. I wouldn't be here. But what I'm trying to help you understand is that when we were growing up, we had no ideas of what happened to our parents. So as I grew up and became an adult, it was a confusing time for me. Now, I want to stop and say this. Today, my mom and I have a great, close, intimate relationship with each other because God did that. And I want you to know that what you hear today may not change your relationship with your parent, but it can change you so that the ability for that relationship to change can take place. It will be a miracle, but that's what God does. He's the miracle-working God. So when I was close to 40, I was watching a Driving Miss Daisy. Let me just ask for the hands who have not seen that movie. Anybody who has not seen Driving Miss Daisy, you need to get it and watch it. So it's a really neat movie. But in the movie, and I am a movie buff. I love movies. And God speaks to me through movies. I mean, He has shown me many of His spiritual truths through movies. Mm-hmm. Of course, you have to be careful what kind of movie you're watching. But in Driving Miss Daisy, she had help in the house. She had a black man that was her chauffeur, and she had a black woman that was her kitchen help. Her name was Idella. I loved Idella. And I loved Hope, too. He was the chauffeur. But Idella, one day, was shelling peas in the kitchen, and she had a heart attack. The peas went all over the floor. It was a very, she just killed over. Not a traumatic death, but around her death, it was traumatic. She died. And then Idella wasn't there anymore. It was just Hoke and Miss Stacy. Now, many years later, there was an ice storm, and Hoke had brought Miss Stacy some coffee because he knew she was over there with no electricity. And they were drinking this coffee that he had picked up somewhere, and they were thinking about Idella and remembering Idella. Nobody could make coffee like Idella. And then they both got really quiet. Now, they're both way up in age now. They both got really quiet. And it just struck my heart because I knew that what they were both thinking in their aged years, I wonder what my end will be. I wonder what it will be that takes me out of this world. And my mother at this time was about 80. No, she was 79. But anyway, I knew my mother was getting up there. And I knew that my mother and I did not have a real close relationship, but I wanted a close relationship with my mom, always. And so in that movie, at that time, God said, you need to spend quality time with your mother. And I knew, she's not going to be here much longer. Now, she's 89 today, and active as I am. She's very healthy, but I do wonder sometimes if she, I told her, I said, Mama, don't worry about it. I've been praying for years that when it was your time to go, you're just going to go to bed one night and you're just not going to wake up. That's how it's going to be. Don't worry about it. You're not going to wither away in a nursing home. You're not going to die of a terrible disease where you suffer until you die. No. No, that's not your lot. She belongs to Jesus, and that's not, you know, I think we can make our request as to how we go. And I think that's how she wants to go. When I go stay with her now, she sleeps late. I go to her room and I'm looking in here like, is she breathing? that's the way I want her to go. I'm not so sure I want to be there when it happens. But anyway, I'm really going to miss my mother when she goes. And I told her not long ago, I was there and she was doing her Bible study and we talk about things of the Lord. And she was reading and I'm just watching her. And I said, Mama, I just want you to know that when you're gone, I am really going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. And that's a good thing, coming from where we came from. So, it's my desire today that those problems that you had with your parents, you can see it in a different perspective and allow God to heal you in those areas. And if you've heard this message before, because I have done it before, I did it at the women's conference, just listen, because there are layers and layers and layers of things, and something may have hit you that first time, but the next time it may be something totally different. That's why the Word of God is alive. It never runs out. You can have one scripture hit you in 15 different ways at 15 different times in your life. It's exciting to me. Okay, so in Exodus 20:12, the Word says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I want to talk about the word honor. It means the esteem due or paid to worth, high estimation, a testimony of esteem, any expression of respect or of high estimation by words or actions. And we hear these things in relationship to war, military honors, and at funerals, people are honored. It means dignity, exalted rank or place, and distinction. To revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission, and perform relative duties to. To treat with due civility and respect in the ordinary intercourse of life. To entertain the most exalted thoughts of. That's what honor means. Honor thy father and mother. Maybe you didn't have a mother and daddy that deserved to be honored. But God doesn't address that. He says, honor thy father and mother. And sometimes I wonder if we are not having problems in our life that aren't necessarily a demon. Maybe it's because we haven't honored our father and our mother. That is repeated in Ephesians 6:2. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's two different things in that promise. You'll live long upon the earth, and it will be well with you. And we all want that. Honor doesn't mean you have to be best friends. It doesn't mean you have to hang out with them all the time. It doesn't mean you have to see them every day or talk to them every day. And then in Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I want to say something about the word children. In relationship to our parents, we will always be children, but there's an age factor. There's an age factor here. I have met adult women who still believe that their adult children should obey them because that's what it says in the Word. No, no. You have 20 years for your children to obey you. The Word makes it clear where you stop being a children. It says in Exodus 30:14, let me find my definite, my scriptures here. 30:14, it says, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. Do you know what that means? Before they were 20, they could go with mom and dad to the temple with dad's sacrifice, and it covered them. But when they turned 20, they were required to bring their own sacrifice. 20 years old and upward, they were required to go to war. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 2, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. See, 20 years old and upward. And you'll remember when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they got right up to the promised land. But do you know the only ones that went into the promised land were those that were under the age of 20. Those that were 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness with their parents. So they weren't held accountable for their parents' disobedience and rebellion against God. They got to go in. America wants to keep their children too long. We pamper our children. At 20 years old, the Levites were required to do the work of the service of the Lord. So, in essence, we have 20 years to mother and father our children. After your children reach the age of 20, if you give them unsolicited advice, God told me, you're casting your pearl before the swine. If they ask, give it, liberally. But if they don't, be quiet. That's a hard thing to do. I was sharing something about one of my adult children, and someone came up and said, well, don't they know they're living in sin? I said, yes, they do. Well, do you tell them? I said, no, I don't. For 20 years, they've been told what is sin and what is not. If they are 20 and they choose to live in sin, pray. Talk to God about it. Because let me tell you what happens. Here's the child, here's the parent, and here's God. Now, until they're 20, that's you are there. After they're 20, you need to get out of the way. Their struggle should not be, as long as you're trying to be God to them, their struggle is with you. He's not even in it because you're their God. It's idolatry. Is serious. And when that adult gets out there and starts getting away from the things of God, there's going to be consequences because God chastises those he loves. So when he comes to chastise the kid and they start suffering, oh, we in America, we just can't stand it. We got to fix it. We got to, if they don't have any money, we got to give them money. And if they don't have a job, we got to provide for them. And all this, it's idolatry. And it keeps our children, our adults, in an arrested development stage. And then when God sends those hits and we jump in, we take the hits. Believe me, we learn the hard way. We don't do that anymore. We gave that up quite a while ago, but there can be situations and you need to pray about it. Lord, am I being an enabler? Am I hurting my children instead of helping them? This is something that as parents, we really need to look at. Because you know who's going to be accountable? We are. Not after they become adults. But if we enable and enable and enable and keep them from having a struggle with God to the point that they can bow their knee and surrender to God, yeah, we will be held accountable. I've been trying for years to reach your son. You were in the way. You know, at one time, God gave me a visual. He uses pictures for me because I'm a visual person. But I had prayed about something. And because I used to be a fixer, I wanted to fix everything. I'd pray about it, but then I'd go try to fix it. And I had prayed, and then I got to thinking, you know what? I bet I could call. I bet I could this. I bet I could that. And I had a visual. God started stepping backwards and sat back down on the throne. And I heard him say, well, I thought she was ready for me to do it, but I guess she's not. I was like, oh, get up, get up, get up. I won't do it. But listen, that has stuck with me all day. That was 30 years ago, probably. But I never forgot that. Pray about it and then let God do it. He can do it better than anybody. He can do it. Okay. Matthew 7:6 is where you will find, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and lacerate you. Then you become their enemy. So we don't want to do that. Okay. Exodus 21:15 says, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I want to ask you today, have you ever smited your mother or your father? Now, if I hadn't looked this word up, I would think it just means hit. Well, I've never hit my mother or daddy. But you know, I see a world full of children today that are just out and out smacking their parents. And it's laughed off. Oh, isn't he terrible? You know? No. In fact, my daughter and grandchildren are visiting with us right now. And the little one, he's 3, haven't spent a lot of time around him. But he hit his mama the other day, and I yanked him up, not abusively. And I sat him against the cabinet. I was in the kitchen. I sat him down, and he's looking at his mama, Mommy, Mommy. I said, don't you move. You do not hit your mother. And I told my daughter later, I said, listen, there is a scripture that says that those who smite their mother and daddy, there is a death curse that comes on them. Don't let him hit you. It's a serious thing. But listen to the definition of the word smite. It does mean to strike, literally or figuratively, beat, cast forth, clap, give wounds, to the extreme, kill, make slaughter, murderer, punish, be stricken, give stripes, or surely wound, literally or figuratively. So let me ask you, have you smited, smitten, hit your mother or dad. If you have, repent. You know, you can beat somebody up with your words. So right now, if you realize that you've done that with your mother or your father, just repent right now. Let's just do it out loud. Father, I ask you to forgive me for dishonoring my mother or father by hitting them. And this is even if you think they deserved it. I break the death curse that came upon me when I hit my mom or dad, literally or figuratively, in the name of Jesus. Now, I command every spirit that came into you when you hit your mother or father or smited them with your words even, I command every spirit that came into you at that time to go in Jesus' name. Get out.
Amen.
Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I want to talk a minute about that. Here's another thing that in ministry, when you pray for people, you hear again and again and again something that happened, you know, a long time ago, and they just cannot let it go. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I used to wonder what that meant. The word cross is a stake or a post set upright that is specifically a pole or a cross as an instrument of capital punishment. Figuratively, exposure to death, that is self-denial, by implication, the atonement of Christ. So let me ask, what is crucifying you? What is your cross that you're having to bear? Jesus is saying that at some point, if you really want to serve him, you must basically disregard whatever your cross is and pull it out of the ground and follow him. Not only must you take up your cross in order to serve him, but the same is true in order for you to truly have life, truly have life. Sometimes it becomes necessary to take up your cross and follow him. And that means let go of it. Now, I believe that God wants to heal you of whatever that is. But if you can't let go of it, take up your cross. Put it behind you. Jesus suffered whatever it is that you're being crucified by. He suffered it on the cross in your behalf. You know, Jesus, one day his mother came to one of his meetings. And his sisters and brothers, and somebody said, it was so crowded, nobody else could get in the house. And they said, hey, your mother and your sisters and brethren are outside. They want to see you. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother and sisters? But those that, where is it? He said, those that hear my word and do them, those are the ones. That's his mother. That's his family. You know, we get too caught up in our flesh family. And we desire things from that family that may never materialize. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he gives you a family. Brothers and sisters. So we shouldn't let that bog us down either. He said to them, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Have you ever wondered if Mary got her feelings hurt over that? Can you imagine being your mother and somebody said, they said, well, who is my mother? It's like, how wounded we would be. See, there's a spirit of offense that just waits to be offended. If you have that, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus, and I break its power, and I command it to get out of you now. You spirit of offense, all it does is stir up trouble. The church is full of it. The spirit of offense. So could your relationship problems be because stemming from a curse because of what you did with your mother and father? Leviticus 20, chapter 9 says, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." You know, Leviticus chapter 20, there is a whole list. We talked about being worthy of death. I think we read in Romans 8, and it said those that do these things are worthy of death. In 1 John 5:16, it says, there is a sin that is not unto death. I say pray for that one. There is a sin unto death. I do not say pray for that one. Isn't that a strange scripture to be in the New Testament? It caused me to ask God, what are sins unto death? What are they? You can look in Leviticus chapter 20. There's a whole list of them. And I've done a teaching here. And if you're interested to hear it, you can listen to it on lhbconline.com for free. Scroll down to my name. Look for the sins unto death. Serious stuff. And I've wondered over the years as I've gone to pray for people to be healed. Some have been healed, but some have not. It's none of my business. All I have to do is go. He says, go. Lay hands on the sick. And I do that. But, you know, it does kind of bother me sometimes when they die. And I always thought, well, Lord, I'm just going to look at it as it's their time to die. But since I've learned about these sins unto death, worthy of death, I'm wondering, and I've even, as I pray for people now, I have that list. Hey, I'm going to get real personal. I need to ask you some questions. Have you done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? And then lead them through repentance. Because that could be the very thing that's causing them not to be able to receive their healing because it hasn't been dealt with. And see, people say, but once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is under the blood, all that stuff. Well, theoretically, yes. But it says, if you confess your fault, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We need to examine ourselves. The illustration I give when someone says that, oh, it's all under the blood. Yeah, well, let me tell you how God showed me that. It's like having a fire extinguisher in your house. And you're cooking and you have a little fire on your stove. And somebody says, oh, a fire, a fire. It's okay. I got a fire extinguisher. Well, it goes up the back of the wall. Hey, it's all right, I got a fire extinguisher. Well, that's how the blood of Jesus is. Unless you appropriate it to that fire,
that's right. It
can burn your house down. Ask God, Lord, bring to my memory anything that I need to deal with. Bring it to my memory so that I can deal with it. You know, in the Old Testament, for a long time, the written word that they had was put away. And then somebody found it all dusty in an old temple that was grown over and everything, and they cleaned it off. And when they started reading it, they called all the children of Israel together, and they stood there, and they dealt with the sins of their forefathers. You know, we're dealing with the sins of our forefathers. One time I was talking to this really good Baptist man. I love him. And he told me that there is no such thing as generational curses. So, well, Lord, what do you say to that? I mean, I didn't know what to say to him. But, Lord, what do you say to that? And one day while I was just going about my business, God said, if there's no such thing as generational curses, then there would be no need for anybody to be saved. Because it's what Adam did. That we all need a Savior. It's what Adam did in that very first generation. So have you ever cursed your mother or your father? Now listen to the definition of the word curse. It means to disrespect, make light, bring into contempt, despise or afflict, to reproach, that means to treat with hateful and contemptuous language, rudeness, to treat shamefully, full of disgrace, insolence. Have you ever cursed your mother or your father? Could it be that you're having problems because it's not a demon, perhaps, but maybe you've cursed your mother and your father? Again, Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We shouldn't take this too lightly. Could we be suffering a sickness because of this? Does anybody here have diseases or problems in their reproductive organs? If you are a woman and you have a broken relationship that's tumultuous with your mother or your sister, a close female friend, your daughter, the sicknesses can touch you in the areas of your female parts, having to do with nurture and love, breast problems, uterus problems, problems in the ovary, cervix. Could be that it's connected to dishonoring your mother or broken relationships with a close female friend. Or perhaps you judged your mother. I prayed for a man recently that had an alcoholic father, hateful. He suffered a lot at the hands of his alcoholic father. And he swore to himself that he would never be like his father. And through tears, sobbing, in fact, I'm just like him. See, what happens when we judge, it's like writing a purchase order for that thing to come to your house. Because Matthew 7:1 says, judge not lest you be judged. With the same judgment you judge with, it's going to be judged back to you. And I'm here to tell you everything I ever judged. I've suffered. Don't let that happen. If you judged your mother or a close female friend or, you know, this sickness thing, if you knew someone that had a sickness and you judged the way they dealt with that sickness, you may end up with that sickness. Serious. So just ask God to forgive you right now if you've judged anybody, so that that purchase order can be ripped up and it's not delivered to your house. Same with the fathers. Men judging their fathers or their brothers. Natural brothers or spiritual brothers. Are you stricken in your man part because of that? If you have, ask God to forgive you. You know, unless you have been in their situation, and even if you have been in their situation, there's no right to judge somebody, but you have no understanding of what they're going through. So let's just pray right now. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all the times I judged my mother or my father for the way they did things. And I'm asking right now that that purchase order be destroyed and not come to my house. In Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you to forgive me for all the times I did not honor my mother or father. See, it may be required. You let God... I'm not telling you to do this, in other words. I'm like Paul. Paul said, the Lord said this. And then a little later he said, this is not the Lord but me. I'm saying this. I'm not telling you to go to your mother or father, but you let God lead you and direct you about that. It may be required to apologize for something that you did that really put a division between you and anybody else. Recently, I apologized to all of my children at different times, but I was caught off guard because in the early years of my marriage, we had, our house was upside down. My husband was not the head of our house. I was the head of the house. It was a classic Ahab and Jezebel thing going on, and it did a lot of damage. Now that I'm older and those things have been cast out, I can see the damage that the upside down house had. And I apologized to my son and asked him, would you please forgive me? I need to ask you to forgive me for all the times I dishonored your dad in front of you, that I belittled him, or that I said things that were not nice about him. See, we don't understand the effect that has on our children. You know, one time, and he did. In fact, we were on cell phones, and I thought the signal dropped, and I lost him. He couldn't even speak. It caused him to cry. He said, you don't know how much I appreciate that. No, I really don't. I don't know how much he appreciates that, because I don't really know the damage. I can see some things, but I don't know what it did to his heart.
Right.
You know, because he loves his dad. I love his dad, too. But I used to be ruthless. One time I was speaking to my kids. They were tired and cranky, and I lashed out at them. This is back in the old days. And God actually, I mean right then, he said, be careful how you talk to my children. You think that didn't change my life? You know, we think those are our kids. No, they're just on loan. God has given you, what's the word?
Stewardship.
Yes, stewardship. That's what you're doing. Those are his children. And we need to be careful how we speak to our children. Okay. So it may be necessary to go to your mom or dad. I know a lot of healing took place right there, even between my son and me. And then there are soul ties. If you had a bad relationship with your mom or your dad, you have an evil soul tie with them. And that can cause problems in your life. So I want to break the soul ties between your mother and your daddy. So I'm going to lead you to a prayer, and you can just pray it with me. And you know what? This is an amazing thing. You can't see anything happening, but in the spirit realm, something huge is happening when you break soul ties.
Yes.
So I just want you to pray, Father,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
I break evil soul ties
with
my Father. I send his soul and spirit back to him. And I call my soul and spirit back to myself. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I ask you to heal my mind and restore my soul. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I now break evil soul ties between me and my mother. I send her soul and spirit back to her. And I call my soul and spirit back to myself, cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to heal my mind and restore my soul. Lord, I ask you to heal all the memories that are plaguing me from my childhood. In Jesus' name. Okay, the last thing I want to do is talk about a blessing. You know, if the Hebrews blessed, it was traditional for them to bless their children. That is something that we need to revive in our society, is to bless our children. Our children usually hear the things that we don't like. But I'll just use my own situation as an example. I have three children. My oldest son, Wade, when he was a baby, my daddy, even, you know how you are when you're a new parent, you have that first baby and they make one little noise and you run to see what they need or whatever, and my daddy would get a kick out of watching us do that, and he would say, that baby is smarter than you and Mike put together. Well, that was supposed to be a dig at us. But actually, what was happening was he was blessing our son without knowing it, without me knowing it. I had no clue, but I'm going to tell you something. That firstborn son is smarter than me and Mike put together. Now, I don't like to openly brag, and I'm not bragging. I'm making a point about this blessing. When he was in the second grade, I mean, even before he went to school, he knew his, when I would read to him, he would point to a letter, and I'd go, you know, I just, you know how babies are. And he'd go, yeah, yeah. Well, I started realizing that he was pointing to the same letter. And I said, that's an E. I'm thinking, surely he doesn't, but that's an E. So I turned the page, E, Mama, E. That's how he learned his alphabet. Next day, S. Next day, well, I had a school teacher friend, and she came over, and he was probably not even two yet, and he would pick up a letter and say it, and she said, he knows those letters. I said, yeah. She said, well, that's unusual. Well, I didn't know. He's my first kid. I didn't have anything to compare him to. In the second grade, he made a perfect score on his California Achievement Test. They wanted to make sure I was at the award ceremony. Well, I was a very present mom. I was there. And she said, yeah, but you don't understand. This is really unusual. And I said, I'm going to be there. And then he graduated valedictorian from high school. He graduated magnum cum laude from A&M. He did so well on his, he was going to school to be a doctor. He did so well on his MCAT test that they sent him, people from all over the country were hiring him to come and teach preparatory classes for the MCAT test. Now, people look at Mike and they say, where did he get that? Did he turn out like that? I said, well, if you know biology, there's a recessive gene. Mike's recessive smart gene and my recessive smart gene got together. But no, after many years of thinking about that, I believe that my daddy, through his kidding us, was actually blessing that son to be smart. So bless your children. I'm going to give y'all a blessing today if you've never had a blessing from your mom or dad. And I've asked God to do a lot of healing in that when you receive this. Now, I get blessing now. With my grandchildren, I bless them. Before Katie started school, I bless her with the ability to retain what she learns. When she takes a test, I bless her to have recall of all the things that the teacher has taught them so that she can do well on the test. And I always told my son, because I knew it didn't come from any earthly source, never get the big head about this. This is a gift from God, and you need to be responsible with it and be thankful for it. Okay, so before I do the blessing, I want to stand in, if that's possible, for your mom and for your dad, and I want to ask you, son and daughter, to forgive me for not loving you the way you needed to be loved. I ask you, son and daughter, to forgive me for the times I withheld affections from you. I ask you, son and daughter, to forgive me for the times I spoke harshly to you or said hurtful things to you. I ask you, son or daughter, to forgive me for not being there for you, for not going to your games or your track meets or whatever you were a part of that was so important to you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me, son or daughter, for the times I disappointed you or didn't live up to your expectations. I ask you to forgive me for the times I hurt your feelings or was insensitive. I ask you to forgive me for the times I was too busy to spend time with you. I ask you to forgive me for the times I failed you. Please forgive me. Now, I want to talk about unforgiveness just for a minute. Because in the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, one of the things he said was, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. You must forgive. And to forgive somebody doesn't mean that you're saying it was okay what they did. It's not even for them, it's for you. To release you from the prison that it holds you in when you do not forgive. In Matthew 18 it says, it's the story of the man who owed a whole bunch and begged for mercy, and the man forgave his debt. And then that same man that was forgiven went out and choked somebody for a little bit. And he was thrown into a prison and turned over to the tormentors. Could it be that you're being tormented because you are holding unforgiveness? Now, I want you all to respond to those comments of, will you forgive me? And just repeat after me. Father, I forgive my mom or dad for not loving me the way I needed to be loved. I forgive my mom or dad for withholding their affections from me. I forgive my mom and dad for speaking harshly and saying hurtful things to me. I forgive my mom and dad for all the time she wasn't there for me. I forgive my mom and dad for the times they disappointed me and didn't live up to my expectations. I forgive my mom and dad for the times they said they hurt my feelings or were insensitive. I forgive my mom and dad for being too busy to spend time with me or to listen when I needed to talk. I forgive my mom and dad for all the times I thought they failed me. I forgive him. Now I speak healing right now to all the places that your heart has been broken by your mother or daddy. I speak healing to those broken places in your heart. According to Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me not to bind up the broken heart, but to heal the broken heart. I'm speaking now to the broken heart. Be healed. In Jesus' name. I speak healing to the wounded spirit. Even that, you know, sometimes we're grown ups, but inside we're still a wounded little child because our spirit was wounded. So I speak healing to the wounded spirits right now. Every time your spirit was wounded, I speak healing to it in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now every spirit that entered with the broken heart and the wounded spirit, go. I speak to the spirit of rejection. I bind you and break your power and I command you to go. I speak to the spirit of deep hurt. Get out. All spirits of deep hurt and woundedness, go in the name of Jesus. Pain in the heart from the things that you've suffered. I speak to those pains now. I command them to go in the name of Jesus. I speak to the orphan spirit, the orphan spirit that made you feel like you were not loved and that nobody loves you and that nobody will ever love you and even that God doesn't love you. I break that lie right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I loose the spirit of adoption. I loose right now the spirit of adoption on every one of you whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. I tear down every wall of self-protection that you have built up around yourself so that nobody would ever hurt you again. I tear down those walls right now in Jesus' name. I come against the root of bitterness, that formed in your heart as you experienced hurts in your lifetime. I break the power of that root of bitterness. I sever it right now in Jesus' name. All bitterness, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, go. Get out of the gallbladder. You have gallbladder problems? It's bitterness. I bind all gallbladder problems right now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of that root of bitterness and command it to go in Jesus' name. I pull all those hurtful words out of your ears in the name of Jesus. I pull them out, every hurtful word that made you, that belittled you or made you feel unworthy to be loved. I speak healing right now to your ears where you were wounded in Jesus' name. I pull out every fiery dart that injured you from your brother or your sister or your mother, your grandparents, siblings, teachers, classmates, whoever it was that fired those fiery darts in the name of Jesus. I pull those fiery darts out right now in the name of Jesus. And I cancel every look of the evil eye, every look of the evil eye. From mothers or daddies or teachers or preachers or anybody in the name of Jesus that looked at you and caused you to be injured by that look. I cancel that look right now and I speak healing to your eyes and to your spirits in Jesus' name. I speak healing to all the bad memories. I bind memory recall. I speak to nightmares to go in the name of Jesus. All nightmares and memory recall of things that happened to you as a child in Jesus' name, even as an adult. I speak healing to those bad memories. Lord, I ask you to heal their minds right now. And I ask you to push that rewind or erase button that would totally take it out of their minds forever and ever in Jesus' name. All insomnia, you go. All those tormenting spirits that come to keep you from sleeping, I bind those tormenting spirits now. I bind that lying spirit and command it to shut up and go in Jesus' name. I deafen your ears to the voice of the enemy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. You're the only one that is able to do this, I just loose miracles right now into every person. Miracles of healing. Miracles of memories being washed away in Jesus' name. And now I loose the love of God. I loose the love of God. Lord, I ask you to drop down a greater measure of your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faith, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, all the fruits of the Spirit. I just bless them with that today. Lord, that when they leave this place, they won't even recognize themselves as the same person. Lord, that their hearts will be so changed by what has happened to them this weekend. And they will thank you for it again and again and again. Now I want to just bless you all before you leave. If you've never had a blessing from your mother or your father, this is really from God, your Heavenly Father. You know, when I got healed of that wound, that mother wound, I was in a deep depression and I had an encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, through his eyes, the love that just came through his eyes healed me of many things that I didn't even realize I was being healed of until I walked it out. And that's another thing. See, everything that's taken place with you here this weekend, if you've not gone through deliverance before, you're going to find as you walk it out. Some people will come up the very next day and want prayer for the same thing. And I said, listen, we dealt with that yesterday. And you don't even know how that is going to change your life until you begin to walk it out. You're going to find that things are going to be different. And so I just want you to receive this blessing from your Heavenly Father. But if you never received a blessing from your mom or dad, just let it be all of their voices that you hear. So today, I bless you and receive it as I say it. I bless you with the healing of all wounds of rejection, neglect, and abuse that you have suffered. I bless you with overflowing peace, the peace of God. I bless your life with fruitfulness, good fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. I bless you with success. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I bless you with health and strength of body, soul, and spirit. I bless you with overflowing prosperity so that you can be a blessing to others. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You will prosper in all your ways. I bless you with a depth of spiritual understanding and a close walk with Jesus. You will not stumble or falter, for His word will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in your life. I bless you with abounding love to minister comforting grace to others. You are blessed in my Son, Jesus Christ, with all spiritual blessings. I now release the spirit of adoption upon you. You are mine, God says. Receive it. He's your Father. He says, I am your Father. And I'm so proud of you. If you never heard that from your mother or father, hear it today. I now welcome you to the congregation. You're no longer on the outside looking in like an orphan, an unloved person. You're no longer an outcast. You're a member of my family, says God. You are special to me. I desire to spend time with you. This is the Lord saying. I love the sound of your voice. I'm never too busy for you. There is nothing too small for you to bring to me. I am concerned with everything that concerns you. I desire to help you. I desire to heal you and make you whole. I want you to live and move and have your being in my presence. Be about what I've called you to do and leave the rest of the mess to me. Stop trying to live up to everybody's expectations of you, even your own. You live your life to please me, and you won't have to worry about what anybody else thinks or says about you. I love you. You can know it. I love you. You can believe it. I love you. Receive it. Be blessed. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.